We are continuing our new series in the book of Acts. So I want to invite you to turn to Acts chapter 1 again. We're going to look at the same passage that we did last week, but we'll focus in on just one verse, Acts 1:8, which is just the key verse in the book of Acts, and an important one for us that talks about our mission. So you guys, you're on mission. Do you realize that? We are on mission. We've already heard a little bit about that today. So let's turn there and let me ask for the Lord's help as we look at his word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us your word, that your word is true, that you speak to us through your word. We pray that we would receive this today as the word of God, that we would understand, that we'd believe, and that we'd live in the light of it, that we'd obey it. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We are on mission, and it's good to be on mission. And it doesn't feel good to not be on mission. My brother told me after he graduated from high school, he had been a football player from the time he was 12 or something, all the way through the end of high school. He was actually a very good football player. And then when he went to college, he wasn't like a D1 level football player. So he didn't play football anymore, and he just really missed the camaraderie of the team, but also just that sense of purpose that we're going for, the next victory. And I've talked to people also that soldiers who are deployed overseas, and there's this sense of mission, when you're under deployment, that you've got this focus and a purpose, and then when you come back. Some guys, they really miss that. They miss that sense of being on mission. Some guys miss it so much they want to get back on deployment. I know that's not everybody, but some people want to get back that way. And there are people today in our culture, in our society, who feel aimless because they don't feel like they know what their mission is. They don't realize what their mission is, and they have this understand or a feeling that the mission that the culture gives you, which is basically work harder so you can buy more stuff, that mission isn't totally satisfying. There's got to be more to life than just that mission. One of the reasons it is really satisfying to be a believer in Christ is that he has given us a mission, and he's given us a mission together. So we together are on mission, and each one of us has a role in fulfilling that mission. So today we're going to talk about what our mission is. Like I said, we're going to focus on Acts 1:8, but I'm going to read the whole passage again, Acts 1:1 to 11, and we'll go from there. So the writer Luke writes to somebody named Theophilus. But of course, this isn't just for one person, it's for all of us. I wrote the first narrative, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After he had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While he was with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which, he said, you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. So, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After he had said this, he was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing into heaven, and suddenly two men in white clothes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven." This is God's word. So last week we looked at that whole passage, the broader context. Before Jesus left this planet, he commissioned his followers. He gave them their marching orders, gave us our marching orders, because that commission's for us too. So, and the idea is, between the first time that Jesus came and now he's going up to heaven, and the time that he's going to come back, his second coming, between his first coming and his second coming, we're on mission. And we're not called to speculate about when he's going to come back. We're called to get busy until he does come back and to be on mission. So what is our mission? We're going to focus in on this verse, Acts 1:8. What are we supposed to do? How will we carry it out? In Matthew 28, it's another passage that gives us the Great Commission. Jesus commands us, go and make disciples of every nation. So that's our mission. We discussed that a couple weeks ago at the baptism service. Go and make disciples. And here he says, you will be my witnesses. Now, it's talking about the same mission, and the way I fit those things together in my mind is that our mission is making disciples, and the means that we employ, the way that we go about making disciples, is to be witnesses. So let's talk about that word witnesses. In the Greek, the root word witness is the same as the word testify. So a witness is a person who bears witness, who gives testimony. It's a term from the legal system. So the witness establishes, you can imagine like a witness on the stand in court, the witness establishes the veracity of the facts of the case. They'll tell you what they saw, okay? So like in a robbery case, you can imagine a witness on the stand saying, I was in line at the bank to make my deposit, and the lady in front of me was wearing a big purple and orange wig and dark sunglasses, and she reached into her purse, and she said to the teller, I have a dangerous weapon in my purse. Give me all the cash. The witness would go on and explain everything they saw. Give me everything you got, and nobody gets hurt. Okay, so the apostles are called to bear witness to what they had seen, that they saw Jesus during his ministry, during his life. They saw that he had died, and they saw him alive from the dead. That's their role, to bear witness to the truth of Jesus' resurrection. And followers in Christ, all of us, including all of us here who have not yet seen Jesus alive from the dead face to face, we're called to bear witness to what those first apostles saw, to the testimony that they recorded in the Bible. So that leads us to the next word I want to talk about. It's the word my. Jesus says, you will be my witnesses. So Jesus is the one who commissioned us. You're going to be my witnesses for me, And we should bear witness to him. He's the content of the message that we're going to talk about. Now you're going to see as we go through Acts many examples of Jesus' followers bearing witness to him. And these are the kinds of things that they talk about. They say that Jesus was sent from God. They talk about his life, his teaching, the miracles that he worked, and they talk about his death, and they often say, he was killed at the hands of sinful men, or they'll say, you crucified him, they'll say. So he died for sins, and it's our sins, even though we're not the ones that nailed him to the cross. He died for our sins in our place. And they talk about how Jesus is going to return to be the judge of the world, and they talk about how forgiveness of sins is offered through him for those who believe in him. And so they call people to believe in him and to be baptized, to express that faith in baptism. So the message that we proclaim, that we bear witness to as we are on our mission, it's not, first of all, a message about what society is like, or it's not a message about politics, it's not a message about church programs, or about how to live your best life. Now, that message, the message that we proclaim has implications for all of these things, but that's not what the message is. It's a message about Jesus, okay? And now let's talk about the word you. He says, you will be my witnesses. And in the Greek, that word you, it's in the plural. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon y'all, you know, like in Arkansas, I would say y'all, the plural you, you know. When the Holy Spirit comes upon y'all, y'all will be my witnesses. It's not just one person, it's us. You know, it's the community. Our mission involves the disciples in community. It's not just like one freelance, independent evangelist over here and one over there. It's the disciples together. You know, in the story, they're gathered together. And then the Holy Spirit came upon them, and at that point they become a church, and then they go out in the street and proclaim the good news, and as people believe in the good news, those people become part of the church. So the church is God's program of for our mission. It's God's God's people working together, the church working together. God works through local churches as we're on mission. Okay. So our mission, brothers and sisters, is to make disciples by bearing witness to Jesus. And you may have heard this expression, I've heard it plenty, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Brothers and sisters, it's always necessary to use words, okay? The gospel is a message, and we have to say it. We have to talk about Jesus, about his life and his death and his resurrection and that he's coming again and how he's changed us, how our sins are forgiven, and he's given us the Holy Spirit and eternal life. Our mission, we carry out our mission by bearing witness to him, by talking about it. Okay. We've talked about Jesus' command, you will be my witnesses, and now I want to look back to the clause before that in Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. So let's talk about the power. You will receive power. Let's talk about the power of our mission. And to start, notice again the word you. Jesus is leaving, and he's commissioning us to carry on his work, and he's going to use the apostles. He says, you will receive power. He's going to use them, and he's going to use you and me too. But this work that we are going to do is so important, and it will require so much of us that God will have to equip us. And the way he equips us is by giving us his own Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So the apostles are supposed to wait, and 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came. Now they're a church. They immediately go out and testify. Thousands of believe the message and are added to the church. And so those same guys who, when Jesus was arrested, fled into the darkness because they were scared, the same Peter who denied Jesus three times, these are the ones who now have the power to bear witness to him. Like Jesus, Jesus gives them power through his Spirit. These same guys are now speaking about him boldly. Peter gives this amazing sermon in front of thousands of people, speaking boldly. You know, what's changed? What's the difference? Well, it's the Holy Spirit. the Holy Spirit is the power for our mission. And he's involved in our mission from start to finish. The Holy Spirit had filled Jesus and empowered the work that Jesus did. The power of the Holy Spirit is what raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus sends his Holy Spirit to us. The Holy Spirit is the author of the message about Jesus. He gives us the strength and the courage and the ability to testify about Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the one who draws people to God. He's the one who gives them new life and helps them grow. He's the power. He's involved in this from start to finish. In Acts, as you'll see as we go through this, sometimes the Holy Spirit worked miraculous signs as part of the apostles' evangelism. He gave the apostles ability to speak in foreign languages. He gave them the ability to heal people. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't always do that today. He certainly can when he wants to. But always, when we carry out Jesus' mission, the Holy Spirit is working. He is the one who's empowering us, equipping us to do this work. So we need to pray for the Holy Spirit to work, that he'd give us the opportunity to speak, the boldness to speak out, clarity in our message, that he'd give us love for our neighbors so that we want to speak to them. And we should pray that he would draw people to himself and draw them to repentance and faith in Christ so that they would be saved. So we've seen so far that our mission is to make disciples by being his witnesses. And we've seen that the power for our mission is the Holy Spirit. And now I want to look at the pattern of our mission. Jesus told the apostles that they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jerusalem is the city where they received the Holy Spirit and where they started, the same city where Jesus died and was raised from the dead. Judea is the surrounding province. Samaria is the neighboring province that didn't just have Jews there, had Samaritans there. And then the ends of the earth is everywhere else, as far as we can go. Now, this idea that we're on mission to the ends of the earth doesn't start here. Like God, this was part of God's plan all along. In Isaiah, you know, written 700 years before Jesus, it's a prophecy. And in this prophecy, in Isaiah 49:6, God tells his servant this. He says, "I will make you a light to the nations to be my salvation to the ends of the earth." So that prophecy is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus. He's the light of the world. But remember, Jesus also said to us, "You are the light of the world." And we carry his light to the ends of the earth. And you notice what Jesus said in Matthew 28, that other Great Commission passage that I've been referencing. Jesus said, "Make disciples of all nations." So the pattern is for the gospel to start in Jerusalem and then to go out to every place and to every ethnicity. Now, some of the first Jewish Christians were slow to understand this, but the good news is for everybody, even Gentiles, which is good news, right? Because that's most of us. And this pattern is exactly what happens in the book of Acts. The first seven chapters are about the gospel going out to Jerusalem, and then chapters 8, 9, and 10, the gospel goes to Samaria. And then chapter 9 on, it's like the gospel goes from there to Rome, which is the hub of the ends of the earth. So this verse sort of sets the outline for the book of Acts. Now, where do we fit in this? Well, in one way, we're the ends of the earth, aren't we? Relative to Jerusalem, we're almost as far as you can go. And praise God, the gospel's reached us. But in another way, there are people who haven't heard and haven't understood the good news about Jesus. They haven't yet believed. So we have work to do. This pattern of starting where you are and then going out from there is a good model for any local church. And I want to commend this church for the way that we support international missions. You hear every week, most weeks we highlight a missionary. Like we talked today about these missionaries in Ireland making movies for Jesus. And you heard the prayer request about the family in Papua New Guinea. Last year, our church supported 48 missionary families. 25% of the money that we spent went to our missionary program. I mean, this is absolutely incredible. It's not very common for a local church to support so many missionaries and to give so much money to missions, especially a church our size. So God is using this church to reach the nations, to reach the ends of the earth. So let's keep that up. And at the same time, I want us to remember what our role is in reaching our Jerusalem and our Judea and Samaria. So that would be Canterbury and the towns around here. Here's a question for you. Who has been called by God to reach Canterbury and Plainfield and Lisbon and Brooklyn and the other towns around here? Who is called by God? We are, right? And how are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? By telling them, you know, by telling them about Jesus, by inviting them to Calvary Chapel, where they'll hear God's word taught, they'll hear the gospel proclaimed. And I want to challenge each of you who are here today, each one of you who's a believer in Jesus, to talk to somebody this week about Jesus. I want to challenge you. Talk to somebody this week about Jesus, or invite somebody to church this week, or do both. And let me give you some practical ways that you can do that. Now, the first practical step, and we've already talked about this, but it's to pray. You know, pray for love for the people around you. Pray for opportunity, for boldness, for clarity. Okay, here's another practical way to do it. It's pretty easy to find a way to talk about church if you're looking for it. You can just easily say, whatever, you know, people are talking, you can say, hey, that reminds me of something we were talking about in Sunday school this morning or last week. You know, something we were talking about at church on Sunday. Do you go to church anywhere? And usually people say, well, I used to, and I haven't in a while. Or they say, no, you know, I've never been to a church. And you can say easily, it doesn't sound mean or like you're a bully to say, hey, would you like to come to my church? I'll meet you in the parking lot at 10:20. We can go in together. So you can, there's a way to invite somebody to church. Also, I want to encourage you to think of yourself as being on mission and prepare yourself, be ready to talk about Jesus to people. You know, people often notice the good things that are happening in the world. And it's really easy to say to somebody, oh, your sister had a baby? That's such an awesome gift from God. You know, just bring God into the conversation somehow. You know, and sometimes people notice the bad things that are happening in the world. And you can say, yeah, you know, there's a lot of evil in the world. Why do you think God let that happen? You know, bring God into the conversation. It opens up a conversation. You know, why did God let that happen? Well, God wants us to love him. And for it to be real love, it has to be freely given. He doesn't make us robots that have to choose him. You know, love has to be freely given. So, and often we choose not to love God, and we choose to go our own way, and we choose selfishness. And that's what the Bible calls sin. Everybody sins. But God provided a solution for our sin. He sent his son Jesus. And you can, you know, it opens up a conversation. Every time there's a conversation you're going to get along that far, but it opens up the conversation. Here's another one. Somebody talked to me about this week. A lot of times people talk about death, right? It comes up in conversation. And it's pretty easy to say, you know, everybody's going to die. And I know I'm going to, too. But when I die, you know, I don't want it to come anytime soon. But when it happens, I'm ready to meet God. And it's not because I'm a good person. Do you want to know why? It's because Jesus has saved me and I'm trusting in him. Are you ready? Are you? Because you, the odds are it's going to happen to you too. I mean, I don't know how tough you want to say that, you know. It's 100% so far. All right. Here's some other ideas. I'll give you a couple more. So you might carry, we've got some of these in our up in the foyer in the narthex upstairs. We've got gospel tracts. There's one of them, and you can grab one of those or order one. You might carry like one of these little booklets, and so if somebody wants to know like about how to have a relationship with God, you can just read through it with them. That's one way. You might want, like, especially with children, we use these a lot, like at VBS or when we're working with young children, but it's great for adults too. You have one of these bracelets, or sometimes there's little booklets that have the different colors, and that kind of prompts you to talk about the different parts of the story of God's salvation. So, let's see. Starts with the yellow one, with the gold. This first color, gold, is about God. God is glorious like gold. God's the creator of everything. He created you. And he's holy and perfect and glorious. And he loves you. That's about God. And then the black, that talks about how we have sinned against God. He told us what to do and we did something else. He loved us and wanted us to love him back and we did something different. We were selfish. Everybody has sinned and the wages of sin is death. Because of our sin, it separates us from God. If you really are honest with yourself, you realize that you're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. And the red talks about Jesus and his blood, that God sent his perfect son Jesus, who died for our sins on the cross and rose again. And his blood is what covers our sins. He died for us in our place. And the white, that talks about how your sins can be forgiven. They can be washed away. You can be white as clean as snow. Okay? And you do that not by being a good person, but by faith, by trusting in Jesus. It's not by works, but by faith, by grace through faith that you're saved. And the green is when you trust in Jesus, you have new life. You're brought from death to life, and then you grow in him. So like there's a way that you can, you know, talk to kids or talk to adults. I can talk to you about the gospel. So that's one way. You have some of these materials. And like I told you, you don't have to say everything all at once. And you're probably going to have to say it to somebody more than once. A lot of times, in my own experience, I needed to hear about Jesus multiple times before it clicked for me, right? And that's true for most people. So you want to take advantage of these opportunities and talk to people and keep talking to them. But let's ask God for his grace and for his help so that we can speak. And we're all different from each other. We all have different spiritual gifts from God, so that each one of us has a different role to play in the mission that God has given us. Your primary gift might not be evangelism, but it might be something else, but we're all called to be part of the mission, and I think we're all called to speak, right? So let's ask God to stretch us and to use us so that we will speak out to the people around us And let's just see what he does. As we speak, God's going to do something awesome. So let's pray for that. Now, I've been talking this morning, especially to Calvary Chapel people. I've been talking to folks who have trusted in Christ and who are part of this church. But I recognize the last few weeks we've had a lot of people here, or some people here, who maybe God just put it on your heart to go to church, or somebody invited you to go to church, and you want to have a relationship with God, but you're not sure how to start that, you know? And I want to give those people an opportunity to talk to somebody about that today. So I've asked a couple of our elders, our church elders, and that doesn't mean they're old. Yeah, we are kind of old. But I've asked them to just be available here at the front to talk to anybody who wants to talk about having a relationship with Jesus. And so when we sing this last song, they're going to come up, and you can come talk to them then, or you can come right as soon as we wrap up here. You can come and talk to them, and we would love to share with you today. So let me pray, and then we'll sing the next song, the last song together. Let me pray for you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you that you have given us important work to do, and it's your mission. It involves the saving, the salvation of eternal souls, and it's important. It's the most important thing, and we just thank you that we can be part of this, that in your mercy, in your grace, in your wisdom, you've chosen even us, even Calvary Chapel, to be part of this. So we want to be, we want to rely on your Holy Spirit and do the work that you've called us to do. And I just want to ask you for your help in this. Give us grace to live this out. And we pray in your Son Jesus' name, amen.